The following program is sponsored by the National Prayer Chapel.
The most awesome, wonderful task a man can be assigned is to work for Jesus Christ, to be able to serve Him actively, day by day. It is such a privilege. As you listen day after day to Pilgrim's Progress, I pray that your heart is stirred, quickened, and moved to seek after Jesus in a way you have never before done so. There is no more exciting person in the world to serve than Jesus Christ. Now, part of what we've tried to do on Pilgrim's Progress is not simply give you the things you already know, not to simply say things that you would assume you know the meaning to, but rather to go deeper than that. For example, the passage in John that talks about the pruning the Father does in our hearts. Well, everybody can lay back and say, oh, I know about that pruning. Jesus tells us that the Father prunes us so we can be even more profitable. Well, how boring. Boring. No, when I come and say to you, if you are engaged in watching the sports, if you're engaged in watching television and movies, if you're engaged in the activities of the world, God's going to come and prune that from your life and say, stop it. And if you don't stop, He'll become quiet. He will distance Himself from you. He will no longer speak to you about that issue. And you will settle into being a dead, dry religionist, going through the rituals of your faith. But it's not juicy, it's not alive, it's not powerful, it's dead, it's empty. And when you go to church, you know it's dead and empty because the pastor has to whip it up with some jokes and he has to entertain you. That's not what the gospel of Jesus is about. It's the most exciting thing in the world to let Jesus begin to cut off of our lives everything that displeases Him. To simply say, I serve Jesus, and to mean that, and then not to walk away and say, okay, now I can live the way I want to live. I can go to wherever I want to go. I can do what I want to do because I'm in charge of my life. Well, guess what? We're not in charge of our lives. Not if we're real Christians. And so if you're sitting in church, as we recently observed in a large church, we looked around and the young people sitting around us were all on their cell phones during the sermon playing video games. What? Don't they know that they have denied Jesus? That you don't bring a violent video game into the service of the Lord God of heaven. Are you kidding me? So today is an offertory day. We are offering you the privilege of giving to Jesus Christ for the work of his kingdom, that this broadcast could continue. We need to cover the cost for the month of May. Today's the last day of May. And right now we are $1,235 short. Now, I need to really be honest with you. I am quite ashamed that we have to come back and do an offertory day. And I'm ashamed because if we were all where we're needing to be in Jesus, there would be no shortage of money to pay for a broadcast like this, because there's not another broadcast on WAVA, AM or FM, that teaches the way we do, that is straight and narrow and holy, and calls you to that walk of depth in Jesus and to service in Jesus. So on one hand, I'm ashamed to come and do another offertory day. And on the other hand, I'm rejoicing because it's giving you another opportunity to step forward and sacrificially give, although you know there's no such thing as sacrificially giving to Jesus. It's giving out of the love and joy of your heart because you really want the work of the kingdom to go forward and you're invested in it. So, this is offertory day. Would you call 877-534-0780? Speak with Brother Kevin, who is our producer, and he will take your information. All he needs is the amount of the pledge. You don't need to give your name, your phone number, your address. You don't need to go on the air. Simply call and say, Kevin, I'm pledging this amount for Pilgrim's Progress. I'm Ray Greenlee, and with me in studio,
I'm Alexandra Greenlee, and I'm very glad that we can be on the air today and that you've joined us.
We've had a lot of technical difficulty, and praise God that's finally resolved. And so today is your turn. We need to finish this today. And so by God's grace, we're praying. We're standing by faith.
Again, we are short $1,235, and that is to cover our radio bill for the month of May at WAVA. That's out of a goal of almost $4,000. So thank you to all of you who've already given. And I'm praying that the Lord will move miraculously today, and this whole amount will be covered.
And one man called, I think, four times, giving additional money, because he's so concerned that we be able to stay on the air and proclaim the real gospel of Jesus over Washington, D.C. So what will you do? What will you do? Phone number 877-534-0780.
You can also give online at nationalprayerchapel.com. That's nationalprayerchapel.com. Thank you, and God bless you.
And if your giving is a token given, consider increasing. Risk with Jesus. give for his kingdom. Now, I've asked Alexandra if she would read a portion of a sermon by Charles Finney. It's dealing with this issue. Now, it's about rich men. And believe me, if you have a home and a car, you're rich compared to 90% of the world. So please listen and call. We won't be able to read anymore if people don't call. The purpose of the broadcast is for you to call. So would you please call now? God bless you as you give.
So the sermon, it's a rather lengthy sermon titled Love of the World by Charles Finney. He writes, all rich men love the world supremely. Now he's speaking here, we often know this passage, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. John writes that the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are all of the world. And if we love the world, then we don't love God. But what does that mean specifically? So Charles Finney gives a very thorough explanation, and I'm just going to read a few short sections of it. So he says, all rich men love the world supremely. Jesus Christ has said that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Yes, you say this is true, if he sets his heart upon his riches. Now what I affirm is that every rich man or woman under the gospel does set their heart upon their riches. If they did not, then they would not be rich. If you loved the kingdom of God supremely, you would give your riches to promote the kingdom. We always do that which we, upon the whole, choose to do. If you have money, and you see a piece of furniture or clothing or anything else that, upon the whole, you prefer to the amount of money that it costs, then you're certain to make the exchange and give your money to buy it, if it's in your power to do so. This is just as certain as it is that your choice governs your behavior. Now, if a man or woman loves the Lord Jesus Christ and loves the souls of other men and women more than their own money, if upon the whole you prefer the glory of God and the salvation of men and women to your own selfish interests, it is as certain that you will cease to be rich and give your money to promote those objects as it is that your will controls your actions. So a person rich under the gospel, when it is known that their money can be used for the glory of God and the conversion of souls, is demonstration absolute that he loves the world supremely. To say that a person is rich but does not set his heart upon riches, that he continues to retain his wealth and yet does not set his heart upon it, is absurd and false. For certainly nothing but a supreme attachment to money could cause him to hold on to it when every wind is loaded down with cries and beseechings to send the bread of life to those who are about to perish. But perhaps some will say that much depends upon the instructions that rich people have received, that they may be conscientious in the belief that they may lawfully retain and enjoy their wealth. I answer that this does not relieve the difficulty, for the question is not what you may lawfully do, but what you are disposed to do. Here's an example. Suppose an affectionate wife has a husband in slavery, whom she tenderly loves. The price of his ransom is fixed, and she, by her earnings and savings, is determined to pay the price to set him free. See how she will behave herself. Of what use is it to tell her that she may lawfully purchase such articles of clothing or things that will make her life convenient, that it is lawful for her to have the comforts of life? Will she so spend her money? No, she will scarcely allow herself a pair of shoes. She will practice the most rigid economy and take a satisfaction in denying herself everything but the absolutely indispensable things of life until she has the sum demanded for her husband's ransom. It is useless to preach to her of the lawfulness of appropriating her money for other things. She has one all-absorbing object in view. She wants her husband to be free. She values money only as it will contribute to the promotion of freeing her husband. No false instruction or right instruction in regard to the lawfulness of using her money for other purposes will change her behavior. Every penny that she can spare is laid out for the promotion of this object of her heart's desire. Likewise, if a person loves God supremely, if he longs for the coming and prosperity of God's kingdom more than anything else, the question with him will not be whether he may lawfully enjoy an estate. The truth is that he could never do it so lawfully, because it is not his choice to do it. He prefers to build up the kingdom of Christ with his money. He accounts his money as no value except as it can contribute to the kingdom of Christ. Therefore, I hold it to be a certain truth that if a man is rich and continues to be rich under the gospel, there can be no other reason than that he prefers wealth to the promotion of the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
That raises the question, on this offertory day, what is your preference? What is it that your heart cries out for? Our heart cries out for the gospel of Jesus Christ to go to Washington, for revival to come to this city, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit to come. Everything we have is laid on the line for this, all of our money, all of our time. We've poured out our lives for this. Do you have that same passion for Jesus? And would you like to contribute today to help cover the cost of this radio broadcast? Call 877-534-0780. Now we're going to play a piece of music. Would you please call? And if calls begin to come in, we can finish reading this material. But first priority is, you make a decision. Is your heart sold out to Jesus and determined to promote his kingdom? God bless you as you give.
Cast me not away from thy presence, from thy presence. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation.
Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation.
And renew a right spirit within me.
And renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart. Oh, God.
Sing it to Jesus.
And renew a right spirit within me.
Close your eyes and worship. Create in me a clean heart.
Create in me a clean heart. Oh, God. And renew a right spirit within me.
Cast me not away from thy presence.
Cast me not.
Spirit.
We are rejoicing. We praise Jesus. We've had two calls, amounting now, bringing us to a need of $375. These two calls brought in $860. Now I can tell you, these dear believers want the gospel over Washington, and they want revival in Washington. And they're putting their resources on the line. And these are not people who have a lot of money. These are people who love Jesus. And I'm wondering, where are you? Many of you I've never heard from one time. You tell me, I listen to the broadcast almost every day, but I've never heard from you one time. Do you really love Jesus? Do you want this message to continue going out in power over this city? Do you want revival in Washington? Then would you call right now, 877-534-0780. That number again, 877-534-0780. Call quickly. Brother Kevin is eagerly waiting for your call. We're watching a miracle happen, and we're praising Jesus for this. Now, I want to give you more time to call. Alexandra will continue reading in a few minutes if the calls come. Will you step forward? Will you obey the Holy Spirit's call in your heart? I know right now He's calling you. God bless you as you give.
There is no problem too big God cannot solve. There is no mountain too tall, He cannot move it. And there is no storm too dark, God cannot calm it. There is is no sorrow too deep He cannot soothe it. If He carried the weight of the world upon His shoulder, I know, my brother, that He will carry you. If He carried the weight of the world upon His
You're listening to Pilgrim's Progress. Today is an offertory day. We are Alexandra Greenlee and Pastor Ray Greenlee from the National Prayer Chapel. And I've been sharing with you material from Charles Finney from a sermon called Love of the World. So we just discussed how if a person is rich under the gospel, then that shows that they love the world supremely, by which we mean if you remain rich. And that's because if you truly desire to see souls converted, you will put your money towards that. You won't hold on to your money for your own selfish reasons. Now, some of you may object to this and say, well, Abraham was rich. What about Job? What about David? Wasn't Solomon rich? Charles Finney answers, the command had never been given in their day to preach the gospel to every creature, and there is no reason for believing that they so much as dreamed that the world could be converted in the way in which we now know that it can and must be converted. These wealthy men, David, Abraham, Solomon, could not, therefore, have had the same motives for using their wealth for the conversion of the world that we have. We have not the least reason to believe that their property could have been used for the conversion of the world, in the sense in which we can use our property for the conversion of the world. It was no certain sign, therefore, if they kept their wealth, that they preferred it to the kingdom and glory of God. So part of the fact that the Great Commission is given to every Christian includes the use of your money. So if the gospel is to be preached to every single person, that's going to require Christians to stop having their own interests separate from the interest of Jesus. So Christ's interest is for every person in the world to hear the gospel. And we know that today about 40% of people in the world have never even heard the name of Jesus. So if you truly identify with Christ, if his interest is your interest, then it will be your interest to spread the gospel. And so it won't seem like a sacrifice to you. It will just be what you naturally want to do. And this is why we see the owner of Hobby Lobby is one example of a man who has used his wealth for the kingdom. Everyone is talking about the Bible Museum downtown. Well, that Bible Museum was built because the owner of Hobby Lobby and several other Christian businessmen got together and said, we're going to build this place debt-free so that there can be a testimony of the Bible and a testimony of Jesus, not only to those in D.C., but to the people who come from all over the country and all over the world. Now, those men could have kept their money and bought private jets and had 20 mansions, but they didn't. But you don't just have to be super rich for this to apply to you. Like I said earlier this week, Jesus commended the woman, the widow, who gave 2 mites because she gave out of her poverty. So if we just look at this practically, the number of professing Christians in Washington, D.C., I suspect could buy out every single radio program on the air. Not just on WAVA, but every single radio station, we could probably buy it out and put Christian programming on it. And that would mean that anytime anyone turned on the radio, all they would hear is the gospel. Now, I'm not saying that that should be like our number one priority, but I'm just using it as an example to show that, by and large, Christians, professing Christians, are not putting their money into the gospel. And Jesus commands us to do that.
And this is an offertory day. And we need you to step forward and call 877-534-0780. Are you willing to put your money on the line? And I tell you, this message on the internet is going all over the world. We have people downloading and listening to this broadcast in many of the nations of the world. If you help this broadcast stay on the air, you are sending the gospel to the world. But you're also saying, I want revival in Washington. I want this nation's capital turned around. Would you help us today? The number is 877-534-0780. You don't need to give your name, your phone number. You don't need to go on the air. Just give Kevin the amount you would like to pledge, and then keep your pledge before God. And God bless you now as you give.
As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brother,
about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, mothers, let's go down. Come on down, don't you wanna go down? Come on, mothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sinners, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sinners, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown? Good Lord, show me.
Oh, sinners, you better get ready. Oh, you better get ready. Hallelujah, sinners, you better get ready. Times are coming when the sinner must die. Just how the people live, they're just gonna die. Time's coming when the sinner must die. Just how the sinner lives, they're just gonna die. Times are coming when the sinner must die. Oh, sinners, you better get ready. Oh, you better get ready, hallelujah, sinners, you better get ready. Times are coming when a sinner must die. God gave no other rainbow sign. Time's coming when the sinner must die. It won't be the water, be the fire next time. Time's coming when the sinner must die. Oh, sinners, you better get ready. Oh, you better get ready, hallelujah. Sinners, you better get ready. Times are coming when the sinner must die. Practice and pray. Time's coming when the sinner must die. It looks like judgment in the heavens these days. The time's coming when the sinner must die. Oh, sinners, you better get ready. Oh, you better get ready. Hallelujah, sinners, you better get ready. Times are coming when the sinner must die. Time's coming when the sinner must die. You better get down on your knees and pray. Time's coming when the sinner must die. Oh, sinners, you better get ready. Oh, you better get ready. Hallelujah, sinners, you better get ready. Time's a coming when the sinner must die.
You're listening to Pilgrim's Progress. We are Alexandra Greenlee and Pastor Ray Greenlee from the National Prayer Chapel. And today is an offertory day. That's why you're hearing all the awesome Christian music. So we thank you. Our goal now, we are down to a goal of only $385. That's $385 to cover the radio bill for the month of May. Everything you give, 100% will go straight to the radio bill. We don't take out anything for administrative fees. $0. Everything you give will go to cover the radio bill. And if you send more than $385, we'll put it towards next month. Right now, we don't have anything towards the month of June for our radio bill. So Feel free to give as much as it is in your heart to give. It will all go to radio. It will not go to anything else. And I've been sharing from a sermon called Love of the World by Charles Finney. And this next point that he makes, he says, all those who lay up or save their surplus income do not have the love of God in them. By surplus income, I mean that which is not necessary for the support of themselves and their families. If they lay it up, if they're saving it, it must be because they love it. If they preferred the kingdom of Jesus Christ, they would immediately use what they could spare after providing for the necessities of their families to the building up of his kingdom. So what this means is if you are saving up money for retirement so that you can travel, so that you can get to do everything you didn't get to do while you were working, you love the world. You do not have the love of God in your heart. He uses an illustration. Suppose an individual was on the coast of Africa and longed exceedingly to return to his home, but had no means of paying for his passage. If someone should present him with a purse of gold, would he save it, or would he immediately lay it out to gratify the all-absorbing desire of his heart and pay his passage to his native country? This would be the very reason why he would prize the gift. It would be valuable to him on that account, that by it he might accomplish the object of his heart's desire. Is it possible for a man who supremely loves the kingdom of Christ and longs exceedingly for the coming of Christ's kingdom and the extension of God's kingdom, and yet hoards up his money instead of spending it for this supremely desirable object? And I always think of the man who tore down his barns to build bigger ones, and the Lord came to him and said, "You are a fool. Tonight your soul is required of you." We don't know. If we're saving up for retirement, we have no guarantee we're ever even going to get to use it. And there is an immediate need now for the gospel. There's an immediate need now for Pilgrim's Progress. That's why we're coming to you. There's an immediate need for missions. You can speak to pretty much any missions organization and they will tell you that they have had to turn away people from food, from clothing, because they have actually not had enough of it to give. The demand has been greater than the supply. Now, how can that be possible? If you're making a profession of faith and you're saying that you love Jesus, that you believe in Jesus, and yet you're holding on to your money, and maybe you give $5 or $10, you give a token amount, that shows that you love the world. Now he makes the point further. You may give your surplus income, but if you don't practice any self-denial, if you give to God that which costs you nothing, that's no substantial evidence that you love God. If you gratify everything that you want and everything your family wants, you provide all the comforts and conveniences of life, and then just give whatever's left over to the kingdom, you're not really practicing self-denial. You're enjoying everything that can be enjoyed from wealth, and you're really just getting rid of the trouble of taking care of your extra money by giving it to Jesus and, you know, probably having a tax write-off. You may object and say, well, if every person would give up all his money at once to promote the cause of Christ, what would happen? He answers, this might not be Christian economy. A man's income, if it be not larger than is necessary for the wisest transaction of business, is to be considered in the light of tools with which he serves God and his generation. In such cases, if he gives of his income after deducting the necessary expenses of his family, I cannot see that such a use of it is inconsistent with the love of God. But for a man to live rich and die rich, to hoard up his income, to enjoy his wealth, and then leave an inheritance to his children, is the psalmist's definition of a wicked man who has his reward in this world. So if you would prefer to buy stocks, to engage in real estate, to start a new business, if you're more excited about those things than you are about promoting revival, it shows where your heart is. It shows that your heart loves money. You might pretend that you're making money for God, but the truth is that the only reason you would want money is to use it for revival. So if the great object of your heart is simply trying to make money rather than promoting revival and building up the kingdom, then that is a sign that you love the world supremely.
Will you give? 877-534-0780.
We have a need of $385. We'd love to see that covered in the last 5 or 6 minutes of this broadcast. Please call quickly. Brother Kevin will be glad to take your call. You can also give online at nationalprayerchapel.com.
God bless you now as you give.
Christ is now homeward we go.
Be strong in the Lord.
Be not as children tossed to and fro.
Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord in the power of His might.
Put His armor on and fight the good fight.
Be steadfast and faithful. Stand for the right. Be strong.
Now for you to devour.
Be strong
in the Lord.
In the Lord.
Be vigilant always, each day and each hour.
Be strong
in the Lord.
In the Lord.
Be strong in the Lord in the power of His might. Put His armor on and fight the good fight.
Be steadfast and faithful. Stand for the
old man, his power evade.
Be strong in the Lord.
Put on the new man the Spirit has made.
Be strong in the Lord.
You who were darkness, walk now in His light.
Be strong in the Lord.
Redeeming the time in His love, now delight.
Be strong in the Lord.
Be strong in the Lord.
We just received notification that $200 was given. That leaves us with $185, and we have 4 minutes left in the broadcast. Would you call quickly right now and just flood Brother Kevin? 877-534-0780. We just are standing by faith that Jesus is going to do this. We know He will move in your heart. I praise God for the sacrifices represented by what I see today. My dear brothers and sisters, thank you for giving. Thank you for caring about Jesus and about the work of the gospel and about revival in this city. I know it's stretching some of you. It's a sacrifice, but it's not. It's a glorious privilege to give to Jesus Christ. So we worship Jesus today and we thank him for you. God bless you as you call quickly to give. 877-534-0780.
Or visit our webpage, nationalprayerchapel.com, where you can give online.
And we're going to close this broadcast out now with a piece of music.
Paul and Silas bound in jail all night long. Paul and Silas bound in jail all night long. Paul and Silas bound in jail all night long, crying, "Who shall deliver for me?" The jailer came and he locked the gate all night long. Jailer came and he locked the gate all night long. The jailer came and he locked the gate all night long, crying, "Who shall deliver for me?" That old jail just reeled and rocked all night long. That old jail just reeled and rocked all night long. That old jail just reeled and rocked all night long, crying, "Who shall deliver for me?" Paul and Silas bound in jail all night long. Paul and Silas bound in jail all night long. Paul and Silas bound in jail all night long, crying, "Who shall deliver for me?" The Hebrew children in the fiery furnace all night long. The Hebrew children in the fiery furnace all night long. The Hebrew children in the fiery furnace all night long, crying, "Who shall deliver for me?" Paul and Silas bound in jail all night long. Paul and Silas bound in jail all night long. Paul and Silas bound in jail all night long, crying, "Who shall deliver for me?" Crying, "Who shall deliver?"